wake you up. I don't know what will. Here's the beat.
A bit light on cheating, talked about mistreated, rebuked, scorned, talked about sure as you're born. A bit up, down, almost to the ground, but
long as I've got King Jesus,
long as I got King Jesus,
long, long, long as I got,
I don't need nobody else. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, rebuked, scorned, talked about sure as you're born. I've been up, down, almost to the ground, but
long as I got King Jesus,
long, long, long as I got,
I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else. Mother, father, sister, brother, doctor, lawyer, preacher, teacher.
Long as I got King Jesus,
long, long, long as I got,
I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else. I don't need nobody else.
Mother, father, sister, brother, doctor, lawyer, preacher, teacher.
Long as I got King Jesus,
long, long, long as I got,
I don't need nobody else. You know what I mean. I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated, rebuked, scorned, talked about sure as you're born. I've been up, down, almost to the ground, but
long, 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 long,
long. He'll be a bridge over water. He'll be a doctor and a lawyer. He'll be a friend when you're friendless. He'll be a mother when you're motherless. He'll be your bread when you're hungry. He'll be a comfort when you're lonely. Long as I got King Jesus, long as I got King Jesus, long I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I got Jesus.
Turning it up this Sunday. We don't ever sing like that, do we? They did that just because I brought my family. Started trying to... They're like, we got to jazz it up. Carl's family's coming. No, that's good. Well, how about we start off with some prayer? We got some exciting things coming up. And a couple baptisms today. People professing faith in Christ. And so that's really exciting, okay? All right. Father, it is good to be together again as family on another Sunday. And we're exceptionally excited today, especially excited today because we have people that have said yes to you, and they're telling us. They're sharing with us. People have brought family. People have brought friends. And they're declaring their love for you. And so, Lord, we have a lot of things we're going to talk about today, and we just want you to be at the center. It's so easy to lose focus. You know I'm weak. You know, I'm easily distracted, frustrated, focused on all the wrong things. And so, Lord, I pray anybody who's feeling like that today, that you would work in our hearts and that you would snap our attention, our focus right back on you during our praise, right on you during the word that's being preached. So, Lord, thank you for the people that are brought here together today. Bless us as we go through this service, that we would praise you, that we would thank you, and that we would leave here equipped to do your will and loving others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so we're just going to go through some announcements here. Graduation celebration invitation there for Caitlin Elizabeth McLean is inviting our church to her graduation celebration on Saturday, June 1st. Okay, it's going to be from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, June 23rd, 4 p.m., we will have a combined worship and praise time with Galilee Baptist Church at Galilee Baptist Church. That time will culminate with a discussion and challenge, so plan on attending this unique event, please. We got some information here regarding the VBS. That's from July 7th through the 11th, and we have some information there about the T-shirts that are available, and then also Michelle Roberts has graciously agreed to cook. And so we're asking that if you're bringing your family, that you be prepared for $30 to pay $15 per couple and $10 per person. And the meals will be served Sunday through Thursday this year, okay? So you're going to want to pay Michelle Roberts directly with that. We had He Reigns Magazine. I think his name is Teo. What's his name? Teo? I'm sorry. Somebody else might have to remember me or remind me. Jedidiah. And he came on Wednesday, Bible study, and shared with us specifically his testimony about how the Lord got him started up with that magazine. And you know he's been covering the stuff between this church and Galilee and overcoming racial divide. So if you haven't taken a look at that magazine, give it a look and be praying for him as he's bringing awareness to what God's doing in Kalamazoo. And the office tomorrow is going to be closed. Let me see here. My mind is on my daughter right now who's getting baptized, so you can see I'm kind of, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying not to hurry up too fast, but okay, I think that's good. We're done with that. You guys can read the rest, all right? Y'all can read the rest. Right now, I'd like to take a few minutes to recognize some people. You guys know what tomorrow is, right? That's right. Well, it's Memorial Day? I'm playing. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Memorial Day. And so we want to recognize our servicemen and women. So if we could have anyone who's in any branch of military, if you would stand up, please. If you would stand up, please. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. We know who you are. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. And also, if we have anyone who's in public safety, that's EMS, firefighters, and police officers, if you would stand up so we can recognize you as well. EMS, that's right, firefighter. There we go. Corrections, too. Come on now. Corrections, too. What's up, Nate? Corrections, too. Nate didn't stand up, okay? We clapped for him too, all right? Good. We're going to get you. All right. Right now, I'm going to give our greeting challenge, and then we're going to invite Brendan to come up, who's going to be sharing about a close friend of his and a ministry opportunity. So let's pray. We'll do our breakout discussion, and then we'll have you come up, okay? Good. Before we pray, what I'd like to encourage you to do is get with somebody and have a discussion with them specifically about how they're doing in being salty. You might remember last week that uncomfortable discussion I had you have, right? I want to do it again because I think that's super awesome. So just say, hey, how are you doing being salty and how I can be praying for you? If you could do that, please, okay? That's what we're going to be doing when we break in our prayer, all right? I want you to just be real serious about that, please, because we're equipping each other, and I think that's pretty significant. And God does, too. He's let us know that in his word, okay? Great. All right. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to come together to demonstrate our love for you and loving each other. And today, specifically, we're gathering together to just celebrate who you are and what you did in sending your son, the Lord Jesus. What was accomplished on him dying on the cross, suffering so that we wouldn't have to. And then, after having suffered and died, being buried 3 days, rose again from the dead, defeating sin and death. And because we've placed our trust on him and his work, Lord, we have the promise and the hope of life everlasting. And you've equipped us with your Holy Spirit, a betrothal, a guarantee of the inheritance to come. And you've equipped us for ministry here to love as you showed your love in sending Christ, and he demonstrated his love in dying for us. So, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to be that. And even now, as we have discussions with one another about how we're doing in following your son, the Lord Jesus, and following you by the power of your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray with confidence. Amen. All right, so go ahead. Find somebody. Ask them how you're doing with being salty. Ask them how you can pray for them, please.
Morning. All right, if we could make our way back to our seats, please. I hate to stop all these good conversations that are going on, but we've got a schedule to stick to, so. All right, so I am here today to introduce a good friend of mine. We met at Word of Life Bible Institute, and he's a very dear friend of mine. And he's involved in a ministry in Pennsylvania with his family that he's here just visiting for the weekend, but figured you might as well come to our church and give us your little spiel and whatnot. So, my friend Zach Trimble, let's give him a 12th Street welcome.
Good morning, church. So my name is Zach Trimble. I just want to share a little bit about myself before I share the ministry, because it's going to help you understand the ministry that I'm doing. So I was not born into a home where we loved the Lord and went to church and the amazing things that that brings. I was born into a home where I did not meet my father until I was 7 years old. He was in prison for gang violence. And when he got out, he abused me physically and mentally. My mother also abuses me mentally still today. My father did come to the Lord. He is in heaven, I believe, today. He passed in 2013. But through my childhood, growing up with just those things, I quickly became depressed. Started experimenting with drugs and alcohol, and thought that that was the way to cope with what the world was giving me. The hand that I was dealt, that's how I handled it. I eventually started getting into heavier things and realized that, man, this is not working. This is not helping my depression. This is making me worse. Sure, it's hiding. It's masking over a little bit of it for that time. But as a whole, it's not. It's just this emptiness. So I went to a youth center in our town in Erie, PA, called Common Ground, where it was a church-led thing, and a couple of the guys took me over and shared the gospel, and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. It works. amen. So when again, they did the same thing. I'm like, you know what? Drugs aren't working. Let me give this a try. So the Lord really, really grabbed my heart and just told me, you know, my father wasn't a good father. My mother wasn't a good mother. How can a father in heaven really love me? That doesn't make any sense. That's ridiculous. So I'm like, well, let's give it a try. Very quickly, I'm like, wow. You know, the things that are in the Bible and what these men are telling me as they decided to, you know, grab a hold of me and disciple me and lead me to the Lord and understand that we don't come to the Lord unless we're broken, right? So I was the prime suspect for the Lord to, hey, you're a broken little kid. Let's win you over. So with that being said, as I have been walking with the Lord, I watched a buddy of mine pass through cliff jumping because we live on the lake, such as you guys kind of do. So we live on Lake Erie. So we're cliff jumping, and he passed away, and that shook me. I thought, a good father allows me to see that? What the heck's going on? Lord saved me through that, and then also my father passing and my brother being involved in gang violence in Pittsburgh, also burning down our house. There was a lot of things in my life from just questioning the Lord. But very recently, this year, on January 1st, I got hired by The Door. And what we do is, it's a very different kind of ministry. Numerous sources on the internet say that 50% of teens experience divorce, and 43% of those teens that experience divorce lose a parent, whether it's because they want to leave because it's too difficult, whether they pass away. They're just absent. I recognize that, and I had two parents who weren't really, really mentally there for me, and one father that's not there for me now. There are a ton of kids, boys and girls, that are just dying for a father figure, because most of the time it is a father figure. And I'm going to share just a couple personal stories from these kids. One of the kids' fathers stabbed his mother and is in prison right now. The other kid, his mother is a stripper. And then there's two boys where their mother left them for cocaine and their dad beats them. And what they do is they try to push me and keep pushing me to see how far I'll go before I lose it. These kids are just trained to just push until someone gives up on them just as their parents have. That's the reality. 50% is what the web says. 100% of my 60 kids that come to me daily are without a father or a mother. Every single one of them experienced divorce or never got married in the first place. There's a ton of broken kids. So what we decided to do, I saw the need, not only for in my own life, all this came full circle when I realized, man, I got hired by this. The Lord has been preparing me my whole life for this. We just bought a house on May 15th. We're ripping it to shreds. My wife and me and my daughter are going to live upstairs, and we're opening up the bottom stairs for these kids to have things that they don't get to have, such as just like ping pong tables. Maybe it's an Xbox, maybe. But the biggest thing that we want to center around is we want to get a huge table so that as a family we can eat together, because that's a huge thing. We emphasize on food. We're open 3 to 7 every single weekday, where we just invite them in to come and get a free meal, a good meal, not a meal you just throw in the microwave, something home cooked. And we've been so blessed by different, warehouses that just say, hey, Zach, could you use 400 pounds of chicken? Yeah, I guess I could. It's going to go bad, most of it, but I'm not going to turn it down. So we get a lot of donations through that. And the second thing is food. We feed them. And the last thing, we just share faith. And that's looked at as more of a one-on-one thing, because these kids are not saved. So I get the opportunity, and it's a blessing. It's also a strain on my wallet. But I choose to do things outside of it with them. A lot of kids are now calling me asking, hey, you want to go bowling? A bunch of little white kids want to go bowling? Let's go bowling. And then we have other kids that, man, they are so talented. The one kid I'm thinking he's going to, my opinion, I'm not a very athletic person, going to go play basketball at NBA. That's his goal. I hope he gets there. But there's just a lot of kids, very different goals in their life, but they have no direction on how to get there. And to be completely honest, your direction without Christ is just, without Christ, your direction's going to, you know, it's going to go downhill really, 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 really quickly. And I'm just asking you guys to, number one, pray for this ministry. I know you guys aren't really local to Erie, but I'm willing to bet that there are kids in your community. From what I see, there's, the population's a lot bigger around here, so I'm willing to bet there's more kids like that here. So pray for your community. Pray for what we're doing. And our heart is to get one of these doors in every small town in America. That's our heart. We're 2 in right now. But my heart for you guys is just to pray for that. And if you feel led to give, I have a booth in the back. And I'm more than willing to talk with you guys. And if you guys want more information, just visit thedoorkids.com. And that'll give you everything else you might want to know. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, let's pray for Zach real quick while we're here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy and the many blessings that you give your children all around the country. And we just want to thank you for Zach and his family and his ministry and blessing him with this opportunity and blessing us with this opportunity to hear about this and to be encouraged, to hear about your work being done around the country. Lord, we thank you so much for the love that you show us and the ability that you give us to show that love to others. Lord, we love you. We just want to praise you today with these baptisms and these professions of faith. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Zach, thank you for coming and sharing with us. I tell you, our theme for this year is to be salty, right?
Amen.
That man is salty.
Yes, he is.
And praise God for people that are willing to be salty for Jesus. To not just be salt, because when we're saved, you are the salt of the earth. Just don't lose your saltiness. So, Zach, thank you for sharing that. And make sure you talk to Zach afterward. Well, we have another guy who's being saltier. We actually have two people. I'm going to baptize the first one. And then the second one is Pastor Carl's going to baptize his own daughter this morning. And so what a special thing. So, Brian, come on down here. This is Brian Hunter. And Brian and I, we're kind of neighbors, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we live a couple streets away. And Brian trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior when he was 10 years old at a church that he was attending. And he got sprinkled. How old were you when you got sprinkled?
Probably about 11.
About 11 when he got sprinkled. And you see, here's what the scriptures teach us about baptism. First of all, baptism does not save. He's not doing this today to be saved. He's already trusted Christ as a Savior. When he was 11, they sprinkled water on him. The way that baptism was done in the Bible says that they would go down into the water and come up out of the water. And the word baptize itself means to dip or to dunk. So as Brian is getting married on July 4th to Luana, and as they've been going through some premarriage counseling, we talked about baptism, and Brian wanted to be obedient to the Lord the way the Lord says it should be done. So praise the Lord that that's what today is all about. It's about obedience. And for some crazy reason, Brian's wearing a Dallas Cowboys shirt and shorts, thinking maybe God will bless the Cowboys. I don't think so. But anyway, we'll entertain. So it is exciting today to have Brian being obedient to the Lord. And let me just... Brian's still young, but he's not, you know, as young as Evelyn is. And you know what that means? No matter what station you are in life, be obedient to what the Lord wants for you in your life. And Brian is a great example of that. Brian, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Brian, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Brian. Lord God, I thank you for Brian's statement of faith this morning and the way that he's shown that he believes that his Savior Jesus died on the cross for him, was buried, and rose again. And that Brian, because he has faith in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus, been buried in the deepest sea, and right now he is a new creature in Jesus Christ because of what Jesus Christ has done. Thank you for the statement that he has made today. And I pray that we as a church would surround Brian with love, compassion, care, and help. And I know that the devil will love to sidetrack Brian, to discourage him, because he's made a great step of obedience today. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to encourage Brian, and that your spirit in him would be greater than anything in the world. So, Lord, thank you for this. We just thank you for the opportunity to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. They even have matching robes for us back here. So, anyways, today we're going to be baptizing Evelyn Jean Wellborn. And so I just want to share a little bit about Evelyn, because she's shy and is a little bit hesitant to talk in front of people. And so what can we talk about Evelyn? Evelyn has professed to know the Lord Jesus and has been incredibly persistent about being baptized. And she's asked me about 3 or 4 times, and she's asked her mom I don't know how many times, and we've gotten a chance to talk together extensively about what that means. But Evelyn has shown a great interest in our Lord, specifically what he has to say through his word. She asks questions all the time through the Bible studies at home, and we talk about it in our rides, different places. We sing songs together, and they often request those songs. And what's one of your favorite songs, Evelyn? Can you tell us that?
Nothing but the blood
of Jesus, okay? And so Evelyn
we believe, has shown, and maybe you've seen it too, that she loves the Lord in her life, and she wants to make that clear to you all. And what really made it clear to us was not only her care for other people and the desire to pray for people. When we go to grocery stores, very often Evelyn will ask us and whisper and say, "Does he believe in Jesus? Does she believe in Jesus?" And we will often say, "We don't know. I don't know." And sometimes she'll challenge us with, "Well, we better tell him." And so we are an evangelistic family because of Evelyn and because of her brother Carl the third. So one of the things that I want to make sure that everybody knows about Evelyn is the reason we're here to get baptized today is because she's demonstrated an understanding of what baptism is and what it represents. And then also, she helped us understand some biblical arguments for that. And she was at home with her mother one day. We had said no a couple times, saying we should wait a little bit. And she was going through the conversion of Saul, the Apostle Paul, and how he came shortly after his conversion, was baptized very soon. And she sees other evidence in Scripture of people who come to know the Lord Jesus and are baptized immediately following their profession. And so that we couldn't argue with Scripture. So here we are today. So Evelyn Jean Wellborn, have you trusted on the Lord Jesus and declared him as your Lord?
Yes.
Nice and loud with confidence.
Yes.
Very good. Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the likeness of his burial and death, and raised in the likeness of his life. So, Evelyn, we're going to pray for you. And you have a whole community out there that's going to hold you accountable to the profession you've just made, okay? All right. Father God, thank you so much for this awesome privilege of being engaged in my daughter's life in this way. You gave her to me, Lord, and to my wife. And so, Lord, you've given her to this church as well. And today she's made a commitment, a profession that she has trusted on you through your son, the Lord Jesus, and has committed her life to you. Lord, she's a young lady who wants to be dead to the world and to sin, and alive to you, available to you, God. So use her, I pray, in a powerful way. And I pray this with confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
We have the ushers come forward.
Pray. Father, we thank you for this time we can spend together in your word. And Lord, as we take up this offering, may we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're the reason we're here. You're the
want to see you open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here.
Yes, Lord.
You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart. Part of our praise. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. A mighty river flowing from your heart
and
filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart
and
filling every part of our praise. Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace.
high and stormy gale. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord, He's Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
Sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of Your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of Your great name. Every fear has no at the sound of Your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of Your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, You are high and lifted up, that all the world will praise Your great name.
Your great name.
All the weak find their strength at the sound. Your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of Your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of Your great name. The sick are the dead are raised at the sound of Your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. He's the Son of God and man. You are high and lifted up, that all the world will praise Your great. Your great name, Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, You are my King. Redeemer,
that all the world will praise Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. That all the world will praise your grace.
Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We just want to praise your great name. Lord, we just pray for our pastor this morning as he's coming. We pray you just, Father, just pour your spirit out on him that he might have the words that we need to hear this morning. Father, we just pray that our hearts are prepared for that message that you have for us. And Lord, we just pray you'd forgive us when we failed you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you feel like you've been to church yet? You know, a few weeks ago, Rachel and I approached Jenna and said, "Hey, Jenna, we need you to move over to the drums. Are you okay with that?" And she said, "Yeah, I'll do my best." Jenna, you bless my heart wherever you are. Wow. I mean, all the praise team does, but she was kind of thrown into this, and she's doing a great job, so I really appreciate that. At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church, and let's turn to Titus chapter 3, the rest of us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 is where we're going to start. I cut the end of my message, so if you look in your bulletin, point 3, draw a big X through it, and you all go, "Oh, good. It's Memorial Day weekend. We might get out in time for dinner tonight." So, Titus chapter 2. There was a young, talented man from the Midwest who was a photographer. And there was a terrible fire in Yellowstone National Park that was burning thousands of acres. And the young man was so gifted that a well-known national magazine hired the man to take pictures of the disaster. And so he jumped on an airplane and flew from the Midwest out to Yellowstone. And when he got there, he saw the thousands of firefighters. And he was trying to get some good pictures, but he noticed that from the ground, with all of the smoke and all of the haze, he wasn't able to catch a really good picture. And so he called the magazine office and said, "Can I charter a plane to fly up above it? That way, if I'm up above it, I can get a better look at everything." And so the magazine said, "Sure." And they told him that they would have a plane ready, sitting in the runway when he got there. And so he hurriedly packed up all of his camera gear. He saw a plane running on the runway. And so he ran out and he jumped into the seat. And he looked over at the pilot and said, "Ready for takeoff." And so the young pilot started to take off. The photographer realized that this was a very rough, bumpy takeoff, much more than he was used to. They got up into the air, and he told the pilot, he said, "I want you to fly down as close to the flames as you can, because I need to get some really good shots of what's happening down there." And the pilot said, "What do you mean?" And the photographer said, "Well, I'm a photographer, and the closer I am, the easier it will be to get good shots." And the young pilot said, "I thought you were the flight instructor." Now, in Titus, we've been looking at the fact that we are to be a mentor-making church. And we want to not just produce people that can mimic our faith and mimic what we do. We truly want people, the word that we've seen over and over in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we'll see it again more and more, is this word doctrine. In fact, the word sound doctrine goes with it. the way that we believe will produce an outcome in our living. And it's important for each one of us to evaluate our doctrine. In chapter 2, it started out by telling the aged men, the aged women, the young men, disciplines that they should have in their life, and how the younger were to teach the older were to teach the younger how to live. And then it talked about, and we looked at this last Sunday, how servants were to interact with their masters, and we look at that as a employee-employer relationship, that there's a manner in which, as a person who has sound doctrine in our life, that we should work differently than the rest of the world works. And so now, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And if you could stand with me as we sing these read these last two verses. I won't sing them. You don't want to hear me sing. Verse 14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Lord God, I pray that you would bless your word as we study it this morning. Help us to be doers of your word. I thank you for the illustrations of obedience we've already seen this morning with Brian and with Evelyn. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would be obedient in what we hear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. First of all, I want to start in verse 15. It tells us to speak, rebuke, and exhort with all authority. So the things we're going to talk about this morning are really at the core of our sound doctrine. So what does the word doctrine mean? It simply means the teachings that we hold to. The teachings that we hold to. That's our doctrine. It should be sound, which means it should be true and right. It should come from a source, God's word, that is not our own. And so what we believe it's true and right because it comes from God's word, not from our own imagination. And then it's what we teach. It's what we do. So our sound doctrine, everything we're going to look at here, we should speak, rebuke. Rebuke is what you do to someone who is doing wrong. Okay? When my kids were little, and we would come to an intersection, I didn't just say, "Yeah, you just go right across. You just go." If they started to just go and there was a, you know, the red hand was up in the air on the light, or the light was red, I would say, "Stop!" And if they didn't stop, I'd grab them by the back of the collar, right? And make them stop. What was I? I was rebuking them. "You can't go on a red." And that's how we are to help each other. We rebuke. There are times we have to tell each other to stop, right? But then we also exhort. To exhort is to give the positive good that can take place after we've stopped with the negative. So we exhort each other. We tell each other, "Listen, there's a better way to live." So my brothers and I grew up in a household. We had five boys in our house, and I'm the oldest boy, and we all shared one bedroom, all right? Stinkiest bedroom in the world, all right? I'm just put that right out there right now. And so what my mom did is she put in our closet two big boxes, okay? One for the darks and one for the whites, okay? And we were supposed to take our clothes and sort them and put them in there, all right? just so you know, the box for the white stunk a lot worse than the box for the, you know, the dark colors. And so, and then we had a sliding door that we could shut. Now, when we all took care of our laundry the way we were supposed to, it was almost tolerable in our room. But when we didn't, whoo, especially when my mom would say, hey, boys, clean your room, and everybody would take their clothes and throw it under their bed. It's funny, I just saw a couple parents, like, death stare at their child. I mean, and so it would stink. And so my mom would come in and she would rebuke us. Boys, where does your laundry go? The rebuke. Then she would exhort us. I put boxes in your closet. Put them in there. And when we did that, it smelled so much better. It was just, everybody was happier. And then when my mom did the laundry, oh, the exhortation when we would forget to put them in the right box. And she would exhort us. I have a box for this and a box. Okay, here's how we live. We all receive exhortation from time to time, don't we? If you work any kind of job and you have any kind of boss, you will receive exhortation. This is what you should be doing. We, with the doctrine that God has given to us, are to speak, rebuke, warn when wrong, and exhort, help show the positive with all authority. Now, this authority is not our authority. It's not yours. It's the authority of Scripture. When we speak, we do not speak our own. If I speak my own thoughts, I'm not worth listening to. When we speak this, there is authority because it comes from God Himself. And so, let's look at verse 11. Everybody got it? Verse 15, we speak, rebuke, exhort with all authority these things. Here are the things that we speak. Number one, God's grace. God's grace. Grace is when we receive good when we don't deserve it. We don't get what we deserve. I am a sinner. I know some of you are like, that's like, oh, you're going to fall out of your chair. No, nobody did that. Why is that? You all know. Right? You know why you know that? Because you're a sinner too. We are all sinners. And so, therefore, because we are all sinners, and there is a holy God who made all things and is in control, He looks at us and He says, you fall short of what I want for you. In fact, before I was even born, when I was a glimmer in my mom and dad's eye, I was shaped in iniquity, the psalmist says. From the very outset, because I am human, I am a sinner. And because I am a sinner, that necessitates grace from God. Because if God doesn't offer us grace, you know what we have? Judgment! The judgment comes because the law says that whoever sins is guilty of death. And so what God does is He gives us grace. So here's what God's grace does. Verse 11, it brings salvation. It brings salvation. Without His grace, there is no way for us to receive forgiveness for our sin. And the great thing about this is salvation is not something that God forces on anybody. It's something that He offers. Because let's look at the next thing here. God's grace, it brings salvation, and it appears to all men. It appears to everybody. He makes this offering to all of us. And it is up to you to receive it. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received Him, to those He gave power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. And so it's up to us. He, through his grace, God, brings salvation. And he makes appear to all of us. But now it's our responsibility to receive the gift. This is graduation season, right? So probably some of us will be going to quite a few graduation parties. When I graduated from high school, a lady gave me a book. And I didn't read the book until about a year after I graduated. And then I started reading the book. And guess what was in the middle of the book? A check for $50. It had been a year. I called her up and said, "Hey, I've been reading the book you gave me." She goes, "You just got to that page?" I said, "Well, I started kind of late." See, what had happened, I was given this gift. I didn't really receive it. Sure, it was sitting there in a pile of books that I had. But it wasn't until I opened and received what was inside. And so what I want to encourage you today, if you've never received the gracious gift of God, he wants to give you salvation. Will you receive it? The second thing we see in this passage is that God's grace teaches. Look at verse 12. It teaches us. God's grace, it brings salvation, it appears to all men, and then it teaches. This is really great because you know what? You don't have to depend on me to be your teacher. God in his grace, he teaches. Now, what does he teach? First of all, he teaches that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Some people look at Christianity and they're like, "Oh, it's all the things you can't do. It's all the things you can't do." And you know what? There are things that we don't do because we don't want to. Because we know there's a better way. All right, I've never had a drink of alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never had any kind of drug. And you know what? I don't miss it. I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. You say, "Well, why haven't you done that?" Because at a young age, I received the grace of God. And so all my life, it's been teaching me to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And you know what? I've never tried it. I don't have an appetite for it. That's what God's grace wants to do. And you say, "Well, wait a minute. What if I've already been involved in that and I'm struggling with it?" Because there's a lot of people who struggle with it. Well, here's what God's grace wants to do for you. It wants to teach you that you can deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. You know, I don't even want to go in and identify and try to point out here's ungodliness, here's worldly lust. You know what I just want to do? I want to let the Holy Spirit and God's grace teach you that. Because here's what we're prone to do as sinful people. See, I could look and say, "Well, you know, I never had a drink, so I got it all together." No, I don't. You know what I have? I have a problem with pride. Where sometimes God, I'll have a discussion with him, and I'll say, "God, let me just tell you what you need to get done." You're like, "Man, you are a bad person." I am. But here's what God's grace does for me. It teaches me to set myself aside. That worldly lust. I don't know what your unrighteousness is. I don't know what your worldly lust is. But here's the truth. God's grace wants to teach you to deny that. And then it tells us the positive. See, it's not all about what we can't do. Christianity is more about what we can do. So many people just think, "Oh, you get saved, you can't do this." It's not that we can't, I just don't want to. But you know what I can do? It far exceeds what I can't do. Let's look at what we can do. We live soberly. We live soberly. You know what that means? We have self-control. I mean, some people, they just, I can't control myself. Yes, you can, if you had God. If you had God's grace, it will teach you how to control yourself. Soberly, righteously. God's grace will teach you how to do the right things. That's what righteous is. It's the right things, what God wants. Righteously is an adverb. So how does this work? God will teach you how to do the things he wants you to do. That's what his grace accomplishes in your life. And then it says, and godly, as God would have. And it says all of this in this present world. What does that mean? Right now. Not when I get to heaven. We think about the salvation thing too much about what's going to happen someday in heaven. There's so much that happens right now. Right here. God's grace is teaching us right now that there is good that we will do. Letter C in your bulletin. This comes from verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are looking for the appearing of Jesus. How are we looking for that appearing? Because I live every day that if he were to come today, it would be good. Some people are like, whoa, I hope he doesn't come today. I got to clean some stuff up in my life first. I got to fix some things in my life first. That's not what his grace teaches us. His grace teaches us that we are looking right now for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Right now we should be anticipating this, looking for this. And so if you are like, whoa, if you were to come back, I got to change something first, then change it now. Because his grace is teaching us that this is something we expect now, we hope for now. And then in verse 14, who gave himself for us. Jesus gave himself for us. And what did he do when he gave himself? All right, here's what it means that he gave himself. First of all, he took our place on the cross. Second of all, he was punished for our sin, so we don't have to be punished for our sin. And you might think, well, I've been punished for my sin a whole lot in this life. You know, whatever punishment you feel you may have received for sin in this life is nothing compared to the eternal punishment, which is to come to those who don't have God's grace. And so, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from iniquity, from all violations of his law. Have you ever gone through and read like silly laws that different states have? I mean, there's so many of them. Like in New York, there's a law. It was on the books last year, but you weren't allowed to chew gum while riding in a carriage. All right, crazy stuff. You know, all these sorts of weird laws that are out there. Well, let me tell you something about God's laws. They're not weird, they're just moral. And they're just his. And it doesn't matter if they make sense to us or not. They are what God said, I want you to have as your morality. We don't get to choose our own morality. He chooses it for us. And so here's why Jesus gave himself for us. So he could redeem. That word redeem means to buy back. So he could buy us back, buy us out of all our violations of his law. That word redeem, it can mean to make good of. Every time I violate the law of God, he can make good of me in spite of that. Secondly, he purifies us as his own special people. This is awesome. You don't have to purify yourself. God is not going, you got to be good enough, you got to be smart enough, and then I'll make people like you. No, no, no. He makes you pure. Not that you are pure, but he makes you pure. How does he do this? We are peculiar people. So that word peculiar, it's parousios, okay, parousios. It means that which is one's own, belonging to one's possession, a people selected by God for his own possession. Okay, peculiar doesn't have to be weird or odd. It means that you are God's own special possession. Everybody here can lay claim to that. You can be like, whoa, I am God's own special possession. That's why he gave himself for us. So he can make us clean. We are unequivocally different or peculiar, special people from the world for God. That's what he makes of us. And then the third thing is that we're zealous. Okay, this word zealous, it's kind of hard because when you look it up in a lexicon or even when you're trying to go from Greek to English, they use the word zeal in the definition. Don't you hate that? You know, what does the word fly mean? Or what does it mean to be flying? Well, it means you're fly. You fly. No. Don't use the word in the definition, but that's what they do. So let me just give you the standard definition. It means one who is burning with zeal. Right? That's real helpful, right? So let me try to help it out here. Passionately fervent about doing good works. Passionately fervent about doing good works. Most eagerly desirous of doing good works. That's what God makes of us through his grace. That we are eagerly desirous of doing good works. So let me just wrap this up. When I was little, I had a book in our house, and we would read it quite often. I'm just going to tell you the story from the book, because it was a good little book. It was called The Sailboat. So this little boy who saw all the other boys playing with their sailboats out on this lake in front of the house, there was a little park, and all the boys would go there, and they all had sailboats, and he didn't have much money, so what he did is he worked on building his own sailboat. And when he finished with his own sailboat, he carved his initials into the bottom of the boat. And then he built his own sail and put his own design on it. And he put that little sailboat out into the water and he held it with a string so that it wouldn't get away, but he would try to catch the wind, and all the boys would have their sailboats out there. And one day, the wind caught the sail really strong. And it slipped out of his hand, and the sailboat sailed away. He was devastated about this. A couple days later, he was walking through the street and looking at the storefronts, and he saw at the toy shop his sailboat in the window. And so he ran in, and he said, "Hey, mister, that's my sailboat. It's got my initials on it." And he showed the shopkeeper his initials. He said, "I made this sail, my own special design." And the shopkeeper said, "I'm sorry, but you cannot take that sailboat. You will have to buy it." The little boy didn't have much money, so he went home. And he scrounged together all the money that he had. And he went out and he started raking leaves and doing whatever he could to earn a little bit of extra money. And finally, he saved up enough money and he ran back into that toy shop and he gave the shopkeeper the money and he got his boat back. And he looked at his boat and he said, "You are mine twice. I made you once. And then I bought you." That is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He made us. But he didn't just make us. We were lost to sin. And so he redeemed us. Now, could you imagine that little boy taking his boat out to go sailing again? And the sailboat going, "Yeah, no. I know I'm personifying a boat, but stay with me here. Could you imagine that sailboat going, nah, I don't really care to sail. But yet Jesus Christ made us and then bought us back. And now he says, I've got good for you. You don't have to do the evil anymore. You don't have to live according to the ungodliness and unrighteousness that you used to. You can now do good for me. And so I want to encourage you, 12th Street Baptist Church, sail for Jesus. Sail for Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word because it tells us that your grace accomplishes so much in our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in your grace, I thank you for it. How awesome it is to know that you save us from all of the evil, all of the wrong, every iniquity. And Lord, you save us to do good. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've never received that awesome gift of salvation, I pray that right now, in the quietness of this moment, that they would just reach out to you and say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. I ask you to save me from my sin. Allow your grace to enter into my life. And if anyone will receive you, Lord Jesus, you promise that they will become a child of God. As we close out this service, Lord, help us to be motivated to sail for you, to do the good works. So remind us, as we look back at your sacrifice for our sins once again, remind us of what you want us to do to live for you. And I pray that we would be able to sing this song with victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with me as we sing this closing song. And as you stand, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like to talk to me about it or talk to someone, I'll be up here at the front. I invite you, just come and tell me you want to trust Jesus. And either myself or someone else, we will walk you through what the Bible says. And today, you can leave a child of God with His grace in your life set on a new course.
Jesus Christ, I think sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. And once again, again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now I marvel at your saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Yes, I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life.
All right, so everybody repeat after me. I can do good. Because of Jesus. Lord God, you are so great. We love you and thank you for all that you do for us. Your grace, it gives, it teaches, and it allows for each one of us to know that we don't have to earn it with you. You've earned it for us. So now, Lord, we just want to do right because your grace is every day showing us the right things to do. So now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant things, to you be glory and honor and power both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Live for him. And members, we do have a quick 5-minute meeting. It won't be more than 5 minutes. We're going to start that in about 5 minutes or so. The Lord bless you. Make sure you visit Zach out.